Do you remember wanting to grow up? Do you remember wanting that in your life? It's a fairly common topic at our house with Drew. I guess it's common in every household where there are children present. As children, we're always wanting to grow up and be ahead of where we are at that very moment. We're always in a hurry to grow up and mature. I love to hear some of the people talk. Bill Cosby talks about parenting and about children growing up. And he always, one of his pieces of advice was to always end your child's name with a vowel so that it'll carry whenever you holler at them. He's also one that he said he used to tell his children when he got frustrated. He would tell them that he said, "I brought you into this world and I can take you out and make another one just like you. Just like you." I'm sure we've all had those feelings, haven't we, as we've tried to raise young people. I don't know if you know this person or not, it's Dave Barry. He's another person I sometimes like to read, and he has a lot of good thoughts about parenting. I recently read an article that he wrote several years ago where he discusses the mood cycle of young babies that babies had. He said once babies get over being born, they fall into this cycle. And he said the first mood that they have, the first part of that cycle is that they're about to cry. And he said the second part of that cycle is them crying. And then the third cycle is them just finished crying. And then the cycle just repeats. It repeats. He said our goal as parents is to keep them in that third mood as long as you possibly can. As long as you possibly can. And I think we would probably all agree with him on some level. Do you remember as parents, especially, or maybe you've been close to a very young child, but do you remember those first 6 months of life? Those first 6 months, the development of the child is just incredible. And it goes so very fast. The child learns to smile. The child learns and has the development to lift up its head. To sit up. They learn to make all these sounds that we interpret as words, right? I've been trying to get Anna to say Frosted Flakes for a while. We're not quite there yet, but we're working on it. We're working on it. It's been wonderful watching her, though, over these past few months grow up. It's been great watching Joel and Sarah work with her and teach her different things. She knows how to cross. She's already, I noticed Wednesday night and last night too, she was walking up and taking some steps by herself. I mean, it's not going to be long before people in this room are going to be going, you know, I wish I had the energy that she does, because she'll be going everywhere. Everywhere. We understand that concept, don't we? We understand the importance of growth in the physical development of humans. And we even understand and we know why it's important. It's important. Babies are immature physically and mentally, but we expect them to move and develop. And if they don't, then we generally think there's some kind of problem, right? If Anna's not doing something she's supposed to be doing at a certain age, they're probably going to go get that checked out. See a doctor about that. See what's going on. See why has growth stopped at this place? Our spiritual growth, it's the same way. Or is it? Do we have the same concern when somebody stops growing spiritually? It's a very similar concept, isn't it? Between physical growth and spiritual growth. But I think it's far more important, our spiritual growth. I think it's important that we investigate that. I think it's important that we are quick to investigate spiritual growth when it seems to have stopped or slowed down. You know, in general, just growth is the development of improvement, right? The development of improvement towards something that we call maturity. Maturity, or in the Bible, it's sometimes called perfection. And when we come up out of the waters of baptism, we are a child of God, a newborn child of God, and we are, well, we're spiritually immature. And as time passes, we should be developing the qualities and abilities that the Bible says characterize someone that is mature in Christ. Mature in Christ. Even as a group of Christians meeting in this building, our congregation should be maturing as well. As each individual member matures, the congregation matures. Many scriptures describe this need to grow and mature spiritually. Ephesians 4, verses 14 and 15, Paul tells the church there, he says it's so that we no may longer be children. He said it talks about being tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. He says, rather, speaking the truth in love, Paul says, you know what? We are to grow up. We are to grow up in every way, he says in those verses, into him who is the head, and that is Christ. Peter writes, he says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul gives thanks to the church there in Thessalonica because he says, your faith is growing abundantly. It's growing. And I give thanks to that, to God. He tells the church at Philippi, he prays that their love would abound more and more. Growth, growth, growth. But we don't always do that. We don't always mature. And many problems result when people stop growing. When you stop growing, sometimes you fall back into the world. Other people sometimes cause strife because of ignorance, or maybe they get set in their ways. That's a tough one for me sometimes. I get set in one spot and I don't want to move. Other times people become a stumbling block of some kind, maybe because of worldliness, or maybe it's apathy. Man, apathy is an expert killer in the church. Without some kind of intervention, man, it's impossible to grow spiritually when apathy sets in. Man. This morning, I want to look at some steps that we can take as Christians to help us grow spiritually, because just like a baby needs to have and do certain things to grow spiritually or to grow physically, we have to do certain things and we have to have certain things to grow spiritually as well. When we don't grow, it's because there's something missing in our lives. First, I'm going to talk about desire. We must have the desire to grow. And you know what? We see this all the time as children grow up. They want to be just like mom or dad. Right? They can't be. I remember walking behind my father as he tilled the garden. I would try to step in those footprints of his. Trying to keep up. We try to keep up with our older brother. We can't wait until we're able to drive a car. I can't wait till I can get out of this house. We want to grow. We want to grow. This weekend, we'll celebrate the wedding of Jayla and Luke. What a wonderful growing opportunity. She's probably been planning for this day since she was 5 or something. She wants to grow. Luke wants to grow and move on. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:2 that we should desire the pure milk of the Word so that, guess what? We can grow. We can grow. But we want to remain babies sometime, spiritually. Where we worshiped this past Sunday morning over in Memphis, the preacher there asked the audience, he said, what is it that's making you keep the church at arm's length? Some of us do that sometimes. We can't get too close to the church. What keeps you from embracing the Lord's church? It's part of maturity, isn't it? It's part of maturity. Is it because you don't want to grow? It's easy being a baby sometimes. There's no responsibility. Other people will feed me, right? Other people will clothe me. Other people will change my diaper. In the church, I don't have to teach. I can let somebody else do it. I don't have to rebuke sin in any way. It's kind of like a free ride, isn't it? But being a perpetual babe is not the goal. We are born babies so that we can grow up and be productive and be useful. And the same thing applies to being a new babe in Christ. We're born that babe so that we can mature, go on to be active in the church, go on to be serving God. One of the conditions for becoming a child of God is repentance. We must be determined to turn away from our sins and go work in God's vineyard. We also must bring forth fruits of repentance, right? Otherwise, we've not accomplished that task of becoming children of God. In 1 Peter 2:21, Peter writes that Jesus set an example for us. And why is that? He says, so that we can follow in His footsteps. We should ask ourselves, don't I want to grow up spiritually? Do I want to be spiritually strong like Christ? I think we'd all say, yes, we do. We want to follow in Christ's footsteps. Scripture teaches something very different than apathy. Scripture teaches us over and over, growth is needed. Growth is needed. In Philippians 3:12, Paul, as mature as Paul is, as mature an apostle as he is, he says, I don't consider myself to have achieved perfection or maturity. He said, I didn't think that so that I could stop improving. What does he say he does? He says, I press onward. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. I press on. I don't stop and stay in one spot. I have this desire to grow. In Matthew 26, we read about this place where Peter, man, mature Peter, I have reached a level of maturity, Jesus. I know you say that I'm going to deny you three times. That's not going to happen. Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away, Peter said. Even if I must die with you. I wonder if he looked Jesus in the eyes when he said that. Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. What happened? A few hours later, the rooster crowed, didn't it? And Peter had denied him three times. Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Paul tells that church in Corinthians. We can never reach the point where we are so mature that we can't fall. We have to keep moving. One of the main reasons Christians don't grow and don't mature, I think it's just we don't see the need. We don't have the desire to do so. We place importance on other things instead of God's work. We fail to serve Him to the fullest extent of our abilities. When we can develop that hunger, that thirst to work for God, then we start to develop those other steps that we'll talk about. The other steps that we need to grow. Do you have a burning desire to accomplish more for God? Do you have that inside you? Have you set goals of any kind? Have you filled those goals, fulfilled those goals? Have you evaluated your life and thought about, all right, where do I need to improve? Where do I need to improve? Where do I need to grow next? Have you even considered the new levels that can be reached when each person does those things and the congregation continues to mature? Do you encourage growth in other Christians? Some tough questions. Some tough questions. As parents, man, we get so excited when our child learns something new. You remember, don't you? You remember the first step. You remember the first word. You remember the first time that they drew a picture, then you could actually recognize what it really was instead of having to ask. Everyone wants them to develop new abilities and show growth. We encourage them. We put that toy just out of their reach, don't we? Why? So they have to crawl over and get it. That's why we do that. That's why we do that. We encourage them, eat your vegetables so you can be big and strong like the Hulk. We encourage them. Are we doing that same thing spiritually? It's also important that we provide nourishment and take in nourishment. Even as important as desire is, a child will not grow without proper nourishment. And a child of God is not going to grow without proper nourishment. Good parents are concerned with proper nutrition. They want the child to eat what's good and healthy for them, not the things that are bad constantly. And we're so touched when we see pictures of children in poverty. Those people that we see, the commercial comes on TV and, you know, we change the channel because it touches us just a little too closely. The children hungering in this world, they want nourishment. We hear a baby crying out for food and it touches us. We go and feed that baby. Even as adults, we like to eat a few times a day, don't we? Spiritually, we cannot grow unless we are feeding on God's Word. Peter says, like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk. I said it a while ago, that you may grow. You may grow up into salvation. Later on, he said, grow in the grace and knowledge in 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace of knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When Jesus answered Satan, what did he say? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Nourishment. To obtain nourishment, we must study the Bible. We must be attending worship services. Over and over again, the Bible talks about how important it is to get proper, regular nourishment. That's what the rebuke is all about in this verse, in these verses in Hebrews 5. In our scripture reading this morning, those Christians were sternly rebuked for not growing up the way that they should have. They had not studied. They had become apathetic. They were needing milk again. Needing milk again. I bet you would have been upset last night if you'd taken your flat up to one of those cookers to get your steak and they said, here, have some milk. You probably would have been upset with them, wouldn't you? Just a little bit. Time and again, members of the Lord's church fall away or have their spiritual growth stunted in some way because they do not eat properly. In Acts 17, we know about the Bereans. They search the scriptures daily. Right? In Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist writes about the importance of meditating on God's word both day and night. Regular nourishment. We get upset if we go without food for too long, don't we? Why are we so content then to go days at a time, maybe weeks at a time, without feeding on God's Word? Why do we stay away from the opportunities that the church provides for spiritual nourishment and fellowship? Why do we keep the church at arm's length? Where are our priorities? We need nourishment. We need nourishment. Desire and nourishment isn't enough, though. We need exercise. And we need practice. Even with this great desire and this great nourishment, it's not enough. You can ask any coach, you can ask any athlete, you can ask Carrie Slayton, her about her new workout facility here toward El Dorado. You can ask any musician, any band director. Desirement and desire and nourishment are great. It's wonderful and necessary, but it means nothing if you don't exercise and if you don't practice those things. Developing skills requires continual practice, repetition, whether it's playing a song or throwing a pitch, shooting a basketball. We have to exercise and practice. Those athletes, they run and lift weights, practice hour after hour in order to grow strong and develop. In many cases, championships really are won when the basketball is not quite full of air. Those Friday night lights are turned off. Championships really are won because people are getting in there and they're exercising, they're practicing. Can't tell you how many musicians I taught over the years that, man, they want to be the best. And we gave them the nourishment, but when they saw the amount of practice that really had to take place, they weren't willing. We all know people that have practiced these types of things and they've exceeded, they've excelled. In many cases, we've seen our children grow as they practice those skills over and over. The child learning to walk, they fall down, don't they? They get right back up. Child learns a cool new word and they use it every sentence. Every sentence. They practice. We encourage them to practice. Whether it's this week's spelling words or maybe some history facts that they need to know, practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. Our Hebrew writer says, "But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by what? Constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:7, he says to train yourself toward godliness. Timothy, you need exercise. Train yourself. Train yourself. Like those musicians, those athletes, we have to work again and again to apply biblical principles in our lives. Become more effective in using God's word, applying it to us. To learn to teach, you need to do it repeatedly. You need to teach your children, teach your grandchildren. Do home studies with people. Hey, preach your own sermons again and again. To learn to lead singing, you have to practice songs at home. We talked about it in the Family Life Center this morning. Sing with your family. Sing in the car. Lead a song at Wentworth next month. To understand the Bible, we have to get in there and study it again and again. We're going to meet with daily Bible readers this afternoon. Those people are getting in there and they're digging in to God's Word. To understand the Bible, we have to talk to other people within this community. Bring all of our experiences to God's Word, all the things that we have learned, and work together. We have to drill ourselves. We have to memorize. Dig in. To learn to pray, hey, we just have to do it over and over. And you might not know what to say. That's all right. There is no child born that knows how to walk and knows how to talk. In fact, they're not really good for anything, are they? Except to look cute. They don't know those things. But they learn as they go. I want to share something important with you this morning. The church needs teachers. The church needs preachers and song leaders. The church needs godly men and women to teach and to pray. The church needs every person working on their own maturity, striving to mature. We also have to remember to be patient as we grow and as others grow. Growth, it requires time. It is a process that develops as time passes. It's not something that happens overnight. Our children don't become adults overnight, although it seems like it sometimes. We don't expect maturity out of ourselves or others overnight. Sometimes new Christians, they want to know everything and do everything right away. And that, man, that's encouraging, isn't it? The new Christian that gets out there and they want to do everything. And sometimes they get discouraged because it doesn't happen right away. They may not be willing to take some time and continue studying and continuing to develop their abilities. They want everything right then. Sometimes it's older members that get impatient. We don't understand. Well, how come that new convert, how come she keeps having trouble with that? Well, we got to give them time to grow. It takes time to grow. It takes patience. Those of you that are mature, you didn't get that way overnight. You took a lot of time, a lot of practice, a lot of failures along the way, I'm sure. Don't get discouraged and give up. Growth will come. Growth will come. Think about the people in the Bible. All the wonderful examples that we have of people that were rebuked for some reason. Moses made excuses when God called him, right, to lead the children of Israel. I can't do this. I can't even speak right. David had his failures with Bathsheba, and the prophet Nathan came and rebuked him. Peter, we already talked about, denied Jesus 3 times. Paul persecuted Christians and then was converted. All these people had failures along the way, and yet we still see them as heroes, don't we? We see them as biblical followers of God, some of His greatest servants. Great servants are not people who live without ever sinning. They're people who learn from their mistakes, and they go on to serve God faithfully. Judas betrayed Jesus, and we remember him as a traitor, right? Peter denied Jesus, but what did he do? He repented. That's the difference. He went on to work preaching the gospel. Check out this Proverbs. Proverbs 29:1 says, "He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing." Look at that for a minute. What does that mean? It means as a people, we're not destroyed just because we make a mistake, because we err. But we're destroyed when we become stubborn, when we're corrected and we will not repent. What is needed is, instead of that, is being stiff-necked, is repentance and patience as we learn to do what's right. I want you to remember this image, especially when you get in bed tonight. Story told of a little boy who he fell out of the bed. And when his mom asked him what happened, he said, "Well, I guess I just stayed too close to the getting in place. I guess I just stayed too close to the getting in place." It's exactly why people fall away from God after their conversion. They stay too close to the getting in place. And they fall back down, fall into the world. It's no shame at all to be a babe in Christ. If you were baptized a few months ago, if you were born a few months ago, it's okay. There's no shame in that. If you've been sitting in the pew for a bunch of years, though, and you haven't grown, you need to consider that there might be a problem there. There might be a spiritual problem. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need somebody to teach you again. The basic principles of the oracles of God, Paul, or the Hebrew writer, said you need milk, not solid food. Hey, the good news is that you can take wherever you're at right now, at this moment, and you can move on. You can move forward. You don't have to stay at the getting in place. Maybe it's been a while since you moved from that getting in place. It's okay. I want to encourage you this morning, just take one step. Because that's all it takes to start your journey again. Here in a moment, we're going to sing the invitation song, and it's only a step. Only a step. Come for He bled for you and died. You know what? He's the same loving Savior yet. He's the same. I want to encourage you to take that step this morning. Start your movement again. Begin to do those things that are necessary to truly grow and truly mature in Christ. Have that desire, that fire that needs to happen. Take advantage of the nourishment that's available to you. Don't keep the church at arm's length. Embrace the church. You need the church. The church needs you. Exercise, practice that faith. And give yourself time to grow. This morning, we offer this invitation song. If you'd like to renew your commitment to Christ, or if you want to give yourself to Christ for the very first time, we can help you with that this morning. I encourage you to take that step. Take that step. Let's stand and sing Only a Step.
Thank you, Brian, for that lesson. I know that since we have been here, I feel that I have grown tremendously by just being here and listening to these wonderful lessons that Brian brings. As we close this morning, let's sing two verses of Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new